بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد واذكروا اسم الله في أيام معلومات صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما من أيام العمل الصالح فيها أحب إلى الله من هذه الأيام يعني أيام العشر قالوا يا رسول الله ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله قال ولا الجهاد في سبيل الله إلا رجل خرج بنفسه وماله ثم لم يرجع من ذلك بشيء رواه البخاري عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه. My dear respected elders, brothers and our sisters at home, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As we are all aware that we are into the month of Dhul-Hijjah, these are the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. And the one thing which is not as commonly known is that just like the last 10 days of Ramadan, many Muslims consider that to have very important virtues and significance. Many of us are normally unaware of the significance of these 10 days. We know that there's some blessing in them, and some of us know that it's good to fast during the first 9 days. And more of us probably know that we should fast on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, which is the most important day to fast. However, there are many ulama that have actually compared these first 10 days to the last 10 days of Ramadan. I mean, an actual comparison between these first days of Dhul-Hijjah and the days of Ramadan. In fact, not just the days, but the nights of Ramadan as well. And there are a number of ahadith about that, because the one hadith that I just read out from, which is related by Imam Bukhari from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are no days in which the good action and piety is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than in these days, meaning these 10 days. Actions and piety, good deeds are so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days that according to this hadith, there are no other days in which that are better than these days in terms of the actions being beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sahaba, they were a bit confused, so they asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, are you saying not even jihad fi sabilillah, not even that is, you know, doing the worship in these days is not even, you know, it's superior to jihad fi sabilillah? So the Prophet ﷺ said, yes. If you look at it generally, yes. Except, and then he made an exception. He said, except a person who goes out with all of his wealth and his life and into the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in jihad, and then he doesn't come back with anything. That's a very, very extreme form, in the sense that a person just spends everything in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That person maybe is superior to the one who worships during these days. But for everybody else, the worship in these days is superior. And that includes Ramadan and other things according to some of the ulama. Then there is another hadith which speaks about, it's from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, related by Imam Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما من أيام أحب إلى الله أن يتعبد فيها من عشر ذي الحجة. That much is in Bukhari, that there are no days in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves to be worshipped than in these 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah. The act of worship in these 10 days is extremely beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Imam Tirmidhi's narration, which continues, he said that the fast of every single day is equal to the fast of a year. So the fast in any of these days, from the first of Dhul-Hijjah until the ninth, any one of these days, that fast is equivalent to the reward of fasting a year, according to this hadith. And standing up in prayer, in salat, tahajjud, etc., worship at night, in any one of these nights is superior to the worship of Laylatul Qadr. Actually, he didn't say superior, he says it's equal to. It's equal to. Now, the ulama have looked at all of these ahadith, And then Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, he comes to a conclusion that if you look at the days individually, then these days are actually superior. Actually, he said that if you look at it collectively, then these days are superior to the last 10 days of Ramadan. According to Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, these days are superior, better, more significant than the last 10 days of Ramadan, except that the last 10 days of Ramadan normally have Laylatul Qadr in them. And Laylatul Qadr is superior to anything else. So because of Laylatul Qadr, those days are more significant. But collectively speaking, these have great significance. The reason of mentioning this in detail, in this much technical detail, is just so that we become aware of this. Most of us feel better during Ramadan because the shayateen are away. And everybody's doing it. Everybody's doing the good deeds. So it's easier for us. We understand the significance. There is Taraweeh prayer. There is fasting during the day, which is obligatory. So hence we really do it. But when it comes to these 10 days, then they come once every year. We forget about it. In fact, some of us may have not even known that this had so much significance. I mean, when you're saying that collectively speaking, they are superior to the last 10 days of Ramadan, that is not any small statement. That's very significant. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do extra worship during this night. And if not, then at least to abstain from sins during this night. So just like in Ramadan, we abstain from certain things that we may be habituated to do throughout the year, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to at least abstain from that much. Even if we can't do additional worship like we can do in Ramadan. Because in these 10 days, the shayateen are still around. So the fitna is still there. It's still greater than in Ramadan. Ramadan is a lot easier to worship in. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Now in terms of practically what we can do, firstly I think inshallah Allah give us the tawfiq to abstain from all forms of sins and bad habits for these 10 days. Number one. Number two is to try to do as much worship as maybe do some tahajjud prayer at night if we can do that. At least. And if you can't wake up for it, then perform the tahajjud before you go to sleep. The last thing we do before we go to sleep. Try to make more salawat in the masjid. And then the hadith which says that every fast of this day is like fasting a year. These fasts are very small. The maghrib is around 4:30, even before that. That's, you come back from, many of you may still be at work. So the hunger won't even, inshallah. And the sahri time in the morning is late as well. So it's easy. And if you don't feel the encouragement to fast the nafal fast, then I'm sure if you have some qada fast from before, we feel that we may have broken a fast by mistake, or we've left some fast out and we've got some qada to make from Ramadan, and especially the sisters, if they've got fast to make up, then make the qada during this day. We hope to Allah that you will also be rewarded for Dhul Hijjah. Your intention will be for qada though. Your intention will be for qada. But because they are occurring during the days of Dhul Hijjah, then we hope to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will also be rewarded for the Dhul Hijjah fast. Allah knows best, but we hope in the mercy of Allah that He will give both the reward. But your intention can't be for both. Your primary and main intention needs to be for qada, for it to be your makeup fast. And if the women need encouragement, then the husband should fast with them, just to give them encouragement. Because they're very easy. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Now if somebody cannot fast, and cannot fast for all of these days, or some of these days, then at least let us fast on the 9th of Dhul Hijjah, which is considered the day of Arafah. Which is the day of Arafah, and that has even more significance than the other 8 days. So although it's 10 days, but that's just collectively said as 10. It's actually 9 because it's haram to fast on the day of Eid. On the 10th of Dhul Hijjah, which is the day of Eid, it is haram to fast. And that's why it's actually the first 9. So the first 8 days have great significance. And then the 9th day has even more significance. Because this is a fast that the Prophet ﷺ never missed, except in his final year, when he went for the Hajj. Except in the year when he went for Hajj, he never missed it. That is why the ulama say that although a haji is allowed to keep this fast if he wants to, but because he's going to be very busy standing in Arafat making dua for long hours, then maybe he shouldn't fast so that he has energy to stand up, because the main purpose of that day is to do qiyam in Arafat, in the maidan, in the
in the place of gathering there. That's why the Prophet ﷺ fasted every single year on this day, except the year before he passed away when he went for the Hajj, the Hajjatul Wada, and he did not fast. And it was openly seen by everybody because he drank milk in front of everybody. He called for milk, or actually he called for milk, and he drank the milk, and thus he did not fast on this day. But the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ in this, related from Imam Tirmidhi, is very interesting. And think about this very carefully, that even if you can't fast any of the other days, then fasting on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, and look at this hadith from Abu Qatada radiyallahu anhu. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Siyamu yawmi arafa inni ahtasibu ala Allahi an yukaffira as-sanata allati ba'dahu was-sanata allati qabla. An amazing hadith, a very interesting hadith, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that, you know, this fasting of Arafah, I have hope in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I anticipate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that because of it, He will forgive your misdeeds. He will forgive you for the coming year and for the previous year. He didn't say the previous year first. He said the coming year, the next year. So we don't even know if we're going to live for that year. But fasting on this day forgives the sin of the next year. And another interesting coincidence, tawfiq from Allah, whatever you want to call it, is that every year the Prophet ﷺ fasted this. And the year he did not fast, which was the year before his departure from this world, he passed away the next year. We're not trying to say that this fasting is magic, that if you fast you won't die. It is no guarantee. But this is just a coincidence with the Prophet ﷺ, or this is something that happened with the Prophet ﷺ. And he's saying this, and some ulama have taken from this that, you know, you may live for one more year, inshallah, and the sins will be forgiven. So that's great. This doesn't mean that the sins are forgiven, so now after the fast of Arafat, we could enjoy ourselves in a worldly sense and do whatever we want. That's not the point. Because the sins that are forgiven by these fasts are the sins that are minor sins. They're automatically forgiven by fasts like this. Minor sins. Saghair, saghira. But the kabira need additional tawbah and dua. Normally when a person fasts on a day like this, they're going to make a sincere dua as well. They're going to make a sincere tawbah and istighfar as well. They will repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So by that, the major sins are also forgiven as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what His Messenger intended by this, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But this is what the ulama mention, that these good deeds, they delete and eliminate the minor sins. The major sins need tawbah. But it is more likely that a person make tawbah on a day like this. Because when a person is feeling pious and fasting, then they would make tawbah. Because one of the main things that they want to fast for is to please Allah and have their sins forgiven. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to make sincere tawbah during these days and be forgiven by this. So, to conclude, fasting on the day of Arafah, that is the 9th. So according to this masjid, the Eid is on the Tuesday. Is on the Tuesday, the next Tuesday coming. I hope I don't get this wrong, because people then say all sorts of stuff about me. Right? It's on Tuesday, so Monday is Arafah according to this. So fast on Arafah, the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah. Very important. Number two, once we've understood this, there's another very important deed which you cannot wait to do until the 10th, which is Qurbani, Udhiyah. That is very important, needs to be planned in advance. Because you can't just turn up on the day and expect to slaughter an animal somewhere. So it needs to be something that needs to be done. Now, if a person on the day of Eid, you expect to have capability to buy an animal, then it is, according to the Hanafi school, it is wajib on the individual to do Qurbani. So if the husband is capable and has, you know, a goat, it costs about 90 to 100 pounds, a goat or a sheep. If you have that much on the day of Eid that is beyond your daily needs, then you have to do qurbani. It's wajib on you to do qurbani. If the wife has that much, if the woman has that much, it's wajib on her. Any baligh child, any mature child, it's wajib on them. It is not wajib on youth and travelers. But you can do it on their behalf as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has asked, what is the reward of this? He said that every hair on that animal that you slaughter, for every hair of that animal, you are rewarded a reward. For every fiber of its wool, you get a reward and a good deed. And the Prophet ﷺ himself sacrificed a number of animals for qurbani. In fact, one hadith which is related from Ali radiallahu anhu, he relates that he was sacrificing and somebody asked him. So they said that, he said that the Prophet ﷺ told me to do this on his behalf. So Ali radiallahu anhu used to sacrifice on behalf of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had recommended that to him. So in terms of us, if nowadays you can buy an animal in a place like Bengal in India for about 60 or 70 pounds for an entire cow, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that al-baqaratu an sab'a, Jabir radiallahu anhu relates that a cow can be sufficient for seven portions from seven different people. Wal jazuru an sab'a, and a camel. So now cows there are about 70 pounds, 60, 70 pounds. So I would suggest that that is extremely cheap. That is less than 10 pounds a head compared to 90, 100 pounds if you want to do a qurbani in this country. Don't send all of your qurbani out there. It's good, but you don't see it, and neither do your children see it, and there is no experience. And it becomes like a sadaqah. So the benefit that is intended by that, which is to show your love to the animal, which is very difficult for us unless you live on a farm, right? But to just send it out, it's just like sadaqah. It's permissible, it's valid. So I would say that send out there, because it's cheap. Send out for all of you, even your young children from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, everything. But at least do one here if you can. So this way the children see it, they say, this is special meat for qurbani. You can give it out. They say, the ulama mentioned that you split it into three portions. And this is mustahab to do, it's not necessary. You can keep all the meat yourself if you want to. You know, if you're living in a place where there's no halal meat, you do qurban, you keep all the meat yourself. But here, alhamdulillah, you know, you give it out. One third you give out to your friends and family. The other one third you give to poor people. If you can't find any poor people, you can give it to others, you can keep it yourself. And the last third portion you keep for yourself. But remember, this is something which we want to enliven so our children see this as well. It's very difficult to go to slaughterhouses, but if you can do that, you should do that as well. Go to a farm or slaughterhouse. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq for that as well. The other thing is that inshallah, if you're coming to the masjid for salat, then you will start to do the takbir. The takbir starts on the day of Arafah, which is on the 9th of Dhul-Hijjah, which means Monday, if you come to this masjid at Fajr time, they will start to do takbir. After the salat, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, walillahi alhamd. At least once after every salat, fard salat. The men say it loudly, the women say it silently. And it's wajib to do this. After every salat, until 3 days after, and the asr of the third day after Eid. So this is a long period. If you're at home, you forget, so try to remember. If you're praying somewhere else, then just try to remember and do this takbir, because these are the days. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as Allah says in the Quran, وَذْكُرُ اسْمَ اللَّهِ فِي أَيَّامٍ مَعْلُومَاتٍ, that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the known days. And the ulama have explained these known days as the Dhul-Hijjah days. And the hadith mentions that when you see these 10 days, then you should abundantly say La ilaha illallah and do the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these days. That's a general encouragement and a general sunnah to do dhikr during these days. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow our tongues to remember Him, especially during these days. So just be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whenever you can, because these are special days. Even though the shayateen are around and we don't feel it, these are special days. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to enliven the sunnah of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in qurbani, to keep some fast inshallah for our forgiveness and for our benefit inshallah in this world and in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.